legislation that was proposed before the state assembly. It would grant tax breaks to farmers who lost crops to the paralyzing frosts. And it was introduced in the state Senate on Friday, June 1st. The Republican-backed bill, known as the Family Farmers and Apple Growers Relief Act, would establish a tax credit to allow farmers to claim 35% of their losses due to the frosts. Fitzgerald cites recently released data that estimates approximately 50% of the state's apple crop was wiped out by the March frost. So we thought we'd check in with some of our farmers right in the area here, and we're going to talk to Dale Baker from Don Baker's Farms. It's on 183 County Route 14, just south of Hudson. Dale, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So I thought we'd start off. Can you tell us just a little bit about your operation up there at Don Baker Farm?
Well, it's a family-run business. It's been in existence for 80-plus years. And we have mostly tree fruits. It started out with apples and pears and a few cherries, and I took the business over when my dad passed away 20 years ago and kind of diversified into peaches and plums and different types of cherries, tart cherries, apricots, and I do farmers markets now. We do some U-pick operation, and I sell to some smaller road stands and other outlets. And we have about 50 acres that are in production right now.
So, Dale, tell me a little bit about how the early thaw in March and then the frost at the end of April affected your farm and what you've been hearing from other fruit farmers and orchards in the region.
Well, basically, everything that we usually start doing in April, we had to start doing in March, like spreading fertilizer and getting the pruning brush out of the orchards, because you had to start spraying the trees, which were a month ahead of schedule and starting to bud. And fruit trees that were usually scheduled to bloom around the 1st of May were blooming in March, end of March, beginning of April. Everything was accelerated, and it kind of threw everything off. The season was, like I said, 4 weeks early. And
how does that come?
As expected, I think. Everyone kind of expected we were going to get some frost in late April, early May. And that kind of happened, and everyone has suffered some losses of some sort from the frost.
Dale, how does that compare with the other seasons you've been having? You mentioned that there's been a trend over the past 10 years, right?
Yeah, it seems to me that the winters have been maybe not as tough. A few winters we had a lot of snow, but we've had less snow cover. We've had not as cold, real cold temperatures that we used to have. In the spring weather has been very warm, and then we've had this extended wet period like we're having right now, and it's gotten cooler again. So it's up and down, changes in temperature, changes in weather extremes, and we've also been hit with hailstorms over the last 10 years. I think I've had losses from hail at least 6 out of the last 10 years, and frost losses also.
And so how does this season compare with the other seasons you can remember?
This one is just, it's affected every crop. Every crop is maybe 50% of what it could be because of the frost. A lot of the fruit is in the tops of the trees because the colder air settled along the base of the trees. And it's a lot of varieties that are kind of borderline for this area. Some of those have no fruit. Low areas have little or no fruit. The higher areas on the hillsides have some decent production. It's going to be a challenge to harvest because a lot of it's going to be in the tops of the trees where people can't reach easily. And it's more accessible to the birds for things like plums and peaches and cherries, which is a downside.
No, I noticed you have a really diverse range of varieties of apples, pears, plums, peaches, nectarines, apricots. Does the weather affect the different varieties of fruit differently? Has it impacted the different crops differently?
Well, the cherries, I mean, some people have no cherries that I've heard from other farmers, or very light crops. Some varieties of cherries, I have nothing. The trees are totally bare, and some are full. It's the same way with peaches, plums, everything, and it's very site dependent. If you're up on a slope, I have one peach orchard, which is kind of small, but it has four rows, and there might be a difference of 3 feet between the top row and the bottom row, and the bottom row has virtually no peaches on, the top row has peaches. So that's how critical it was when this frost hit.
Mm. What
a little bit of elevation made a big difference. And some farmers protected some of their crops with helicopters and wind machines. Some of the larger farms had that. I think mostly the small farms like mine didn't have any protection like that.
I was wondering about, you know, what are some of the resources or insurance programs or programs? You know, we mentioned this piece of legislation that's just been proposed. Who knows whether that will pass or when farmers will be able to get access to that money if it ever becomes available. But I was wondering what sorts of strategies farmers in the region use to either insure or hedge their bets or protect themselves, particularly since the seasonal temperatures have become so unpredictable.
Well, there are insurance programs. Used to be most farmers didn't take crop insurance, most fruit farmers. It wasn't cost effective, and it's come to pass in the last maybe 10 years. I can't remember exactly when it started, but the federal government subsidized the insurance programs to make it affordable. And some of the farmers have taken advantage of that. Most farmers that have large acreages of apples buy insurance for their apples, and there are varying programs you can participate in on a percentage basis for damage. And there's other insurance programs offered by the federal government, but they are for other crops than apples. But I haven't found those to be very helpful.
Hmm. They sort of add up.
I think this article that you had referred to, I'm not sure how tax credits work, if that's only going to work on. Sometimes it just works if you have a profit. And not too many farmers will have profits this year.
Yeah. I know a lot of the insurance programs, they sort of add a whole other layer of work that farmers wind up having to do because they have to spend a lot of time documenting their farms, documenting their losses if they had losses, and then they have to wait for a little while to see whether the insurance, to prove their claim essentially to the insurance companies to get their payments. Has that been your experience, that entering into these programs sometimes just takes a lot of time and work away from the farm?
Well, it's definitely more paperwork and it's more expense. And with the federal program that I had experience with, they never paid off in the year that you really needed the money. It was like the next year before you got the funding. So it really wasn't helpful. Hmm. A lot of times if you had made money the next year, they added that money to it, and you ended up giving it back in taxes, unless you could find some way to use the money right away. I don't know if it's a...
Well, tell me, Dale, a little bit about your schedule as far as when do you, what time of year do you, will you be bringing fruit to the stands and the farmers markets this year?
Well, hopefully within the next 2 weeks, we'll start harvesting some cherries. They're moving along now and starting to show some color. And I'll be bringing those to the farmers markets, and I'll have people come into the farm for you pick. And we'll have sweet cherries, followed by tart cherries. It's a pretty popular thing. We've been doing the pick-your-own cherries for over 30 years. And I can never bring enough cherries to farmers markets. You never can get enough picked. That's why, actually, we went to the pick-your-own business, because you couldn't get enough labor to pick. It's so tedious to pick cherries. We'll be bringing those to markets, and I'm hoping two weeks from this past weekend.
Do you sell up at the markets around here as well as, and you were mentioning you sell down in New York City as well, right?
No, I don't go to New York City.
Okay.
I sell at the Hudson Farmers Market and one in Catskill, and then I go to the Capital District to a couple markets, one in Schenectady and Albany. It's a good outlet, and it's a good way to keep your cash flow going, because you don't have to wait to be paid. You get the money right there. That's the attraction for a lot of farmers. When you sell in the wholesale market, sometimes it's 6 months before you get paid. So going to the farmer's market keeps your cash flow.
And can I ask you one follow-up question to something that you were mentioning before? When a young fruit begins to blossom more than a month ahead of schedule and then it freezes prematurely, what happens to the crop the following season? Like, what will that do to the crop next year?
It shouldn't really affect next year's crop.
It shouldn't?
No. The flower buds will start to initiate for next year during the summer. So it's... There's nothing there right now for next year. But actually, if there's no fruit to take up the nutrients from the tree, it might even make those buds a little stronger, because they'll get more nourishment. So the repeat crop next year might be a very good crop, because there's no strain on the trees this year to produce fruit.
Well, Dale, thank you so much for coming on the show to the early thaw and the frost and how it affected your crop over at Don Baker Farms. This is a farm over on 183 County Route 14. But Dale brings his fruit to market here in Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. And did you say in Catskill as well? Is that right?
Yeah, we do the Catskill Farmers Market, which will be opening mid-June this year.
Okay, terrific. Well, we're going to look for your produce there. Thanks a lot for taking time with us.
You're welcome.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I was born on this mountain a long, long time ago, before they knocked down the timber and a strip mined all the coal. When you rose up in the morning before it was done,